Good morning. We'll get back on track with PowerPoints and all that, but this morning we're going old school. But in your bulletin there's an outline for you to follow. So just a reminder. Vacation is a wonderful thing. For all those here who have worked or are still working, every year you look forward to vacation, don't you? It's a time for you to relax, to let your mind and body heal from the abuse you may go through at work. It's a time for us to be restored. And of course, we have the dreaded end of vacation when we know we have to go back to work that next Monday. A fire needs work to keep it burning bright. And if we allow that fire to burn out, let me tell you, it's hard to revive. In the same way, our spiritual life can dwindle. It can dwindle to such a point where we finally just throw up our hands and say, I quit. When our spiritual lives grow weak, we become cold, distracted, discouraged. And guess what? At that moment, we are in need of a revival. In Psalm 85, it's a prayer for revival. In Psalm 85, verse 6, it says, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you?" The word revive means to restore life, renew strength, or bring back vitality. There are moments our souls need revived because we have allowed them to dwindle so far to where we may be here physically like we are this morning, but mentally, emotionally, we're somewhere else. But of course, revival is not an emotional excitement alone. Yes, there is excitement when one soul has been revived, absolutely. But that's not all there is to it. Biblical revival is a return to spiritual life. To return to spiritual life, faithfulness, holiness, obedience, and joy in God. And so this morning, I'm going to give you the invitation. My sermon's not done yet. I'll offer the invitation again at the end. If you need a spiritual revival this morning, if you need help, stop me. That's how important it is. I don't care if I'm mid-sentence or in the middle of a text. Stop me. Or if you're not a Christian and you want to obey the gospel this morning, stop me. Don't wait. That's how important it is. And so revival doesn't begin with the world. It begins right here with God's people. And so revival is needed when spiritual life becomes weak. The psalmist didn't pray for revival because everything was going well. No, it was the opposite. Things were not going well. It's possible to be physically alive but spiritually weak. We're here physically right now, sitting, seeing, hearing, speaking. We're physically alive. But spiritually, you may be dead. Spiritually, you may need revived. He prayed because God's people at this time had become weak and needed restoration. A congregation may continue meeting, singing, praying, preaching, taking the Lord's Supper, while individual members gradually lose their spiritual zeal. It happens all the time. And let me tell you right now, the church in America needs a revival, big time. We need it big time. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it's dealing with the seven churches of Asia Minor. And here's the sad truth. Only two out of seven are faithful. The other five have become unfaithful. More specifically, the church in Ephesus, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." Now, scholars debate what that first love is. Let me tell you what it is. Going all the way back to when scribes came to Jesus and asked, what's the greatest commandment in all of Scripture? The first is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. They've left the love of God. They were doing good works. They were laboring, of course. You know, people don't need to be emotionally and mentally there to physically be doing the labor. I've seen it. But that doesn't mean their heart belongs to God. Yes, we can do all the good works we want. You can go feed the hungry, help the poor. But do you truly love God? Is God the center of your life? Is he the one that fire is burning bright for? Because in verse 5 of Revelation 2, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. But if not, I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. The church in Ephesus here did not return to that first love. These are some dire words in verse 5. But if not, I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand. You understand what language he's using here? You're cut off. You're done. They will hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you, when they stand before him in judgment. And this is not language we want to hear. But what the language we do see here is revival language. Remember, repent, return. Do the first works again. We need revival when we make excuses for not doing what God has told us. Ephesians 5, verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Notice the language there. Awake, sleeper. There are those who are physically alive but spiritually asleep. It's time to wake up and rise from the dead. Guess what? The light of Christ will shine on you. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away. What happens when we lose that spiritual zeal over time? We start drifting away. And it doesn't happen like that. It happens over time. Start missing Wednesday nights. Nothing wrong with missing Wednesdays. And then it turns into Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And then eventually you stop coming altogether. You know what? I hear the word of God once a week. I don't need to be in it the rest of the week. We don't study. We neglect his word. Our prayer life becomes a routine. Well, I pray before I eat. I pray before I go to bed. But it's not earnest prayer. It's not God-dependent prayers. It happens gradually. It happens gradually. And before you know it, they're gone. They've fallen back into sin. They've fallen back into the world. So we must ask ourselves this morning some honest questions. First question being, am I closer to God today than I was 1 year ago? I go even further when I reflect on myself. Am I closer to God today than I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Are we? Are you? Second question, do I pray earnestly as I once did? Do I take prayer seriously? Do I want to communicate with the Father? Or has it become a routine? Repeated phrases. Third question, do I study the Bible with hunger? Do I hunger for His Word? If you answer just yes to one of these questions and not the rest, guess what? You're in need of a spiritual revival this morning. If you've answered no to all of them, you are in need of a revival this morning. Revival begins with one word, repentance. Psalm 85 here connects revival with turning away from sin. In Psalm 85, verse 8, it says, "For I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and to His saints, but let them not turn back to folly." Revival doesn't occur when we tightly hold on to sin, sleep with it, cuddle up to it, become friends with it. When there's sin present in your life, you're not going to be revived because you belong to that sin. That sin is what you're focused on, is what you're cuddling up with, or sins. God revives those who humbly turn back to Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. Then I will listen from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." Notice, my people who are called by my name, this is what they do. They humble themselves, they pray, they seek my face and turn from their evil ways. You cannot be His if you have sin in your life. You cannot be His if spiritually you're dead. You can't. We cannot ask God to revive us while we refuse to repent. We cannot pray for renewed spiritual strength while feeding the sins that weaken us. And let me tell you, sin is not just adultery, murder, lust. You can look at the list in Galatians. You can look at the list in Corinthians. If you are partially, and there is no partial obedience, if you haven't fully obeyed and continue to fully obey daily, it's sin. If you've neglected His Word, neglected prayer, it's sin. God calls for all of us, for our whole fiber of our being to be His. He should be the center of our life. Peter preached in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, "Therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Notice the phrase, times of refreshing. Spiritual refreshing follows repentance. The word repentance means change. Change of mind, change of life. There's change. It's evident. It's visible. You're no longer the same person who was in sin. You're new. You've turned back to God. In Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from the presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." David here understood fully what sin does. Sin drains spiritual strength. Think about one of those cups and you get your drink down to the very bottom and you're trying to get all you can out of it. It's That's what sin does. It sucks you dry spiritually. David wasn't asking here to feel better. This is what he was asking. He asked for a clean heart, a steadfast spirit, restored joy, and a willing spirit. This is why David was considered a man after God's own heart. Even though he sinned, he truly repented. He truly came back, turned back to God. It begins when we remove anything from our lives that is separating us from God. If you have sin in your life, if anything or anyone is keeping you away from God, it's time to cut it loose, to cut it out of your life. In James chapter 4, verses 8 through 10, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and cry. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." We're not going to draw near to God if we have sin in our life, if we haven't cut out the source of that sin, whether it be someone or something. I have seen, sadly, people who were faithful members be pulled away. A young lady told her. I remember talking to her boyfriend. And she said, "I'm going to convert him." And I'm thinking, well, that's good. I hope you do. But if you don't, it's time to cut it loose. Cut him loose. Sadly, 2 years later, they would marry and she would leave the church. She would leave the faith. And it happens all the time. And then we have people who allow whatever it may be, jobs, hobbies, pull them away from God. And if there's no repentance, they're lost. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, "For godly sorrow produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world brings about death." Peter and Judas. Judas was sorry, but it wasn't godly sorrow, it was worldly sorrow. And it led to death. But Peter, on the other hand, had godly sorrow, which led him to truly repent. And we see Peter continued forth and would become a martyr, would die for Christ. There must be repentance. Without repentance, you let sin keep going. You're separated from God. The longer you go, the closer you're walking to hell. And that's just the truth. Any day, any minute, any second, time could be up. And if there's sin, unrepentant sin in your life, it's not going to be good. And so revival comes through a return to God's word, the very standard that is should be the standard of our life. Only the truth of God can transform the heart. In Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of Yahweh is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple." Notice, restoring the soul. The word restores the soul because it reveals the will, holiness, mercy, and character of God. Without this word, we wouldn't know how to live. We wouldn't know what God expected from us. But right now, we have the perfect before us, the perfect law of Christ, which shows us, guides us to how we are to live. But if we don't allow it to govern our lives, we're not going to be living holy. We're not going to be pursuing righteousness. We're going to be pursuing sin. One of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament occurred during the reign of King Josiah. Now, granted, during the end of his reign, it wasn't too well. But at this point, This is one of the greatest revivals we see. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 3, then the king stood by the pillar and cut a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes, notice, with all his heart and all his soul, to establish the words of this covenant that are written in the book. And all the people entered into the covenant. One of the greatest revivals. Josiah did not merely admire the scripture. He obeyed it. He obeyed it. With all his heart and all his soul, the law of God governed his life, his rule. And all the people joined in. They cut that covenant. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. They read from the book, from the law of God, explaining and giving insight, and they provided understanding of the reading. During this time, they stood for half a day listening to the law of God be read. And then what did they do the second half? They prayed and confessed to one another. Can you imagine? I've always wanted to test this at one point for an illustration. Make people stand up for half the sermon. I don't know how well that would go. Can you imagine half a day just listening? That's like me getting up here, all of you standing, and I'm just reading. I start in Genesis and I just read for half a day. I don't know if I could read that long. But that's how in tune they were. We see that desire for the law. Because at this point, they have returned back from the Babylonian captivity to rebuild. Revival occurred because the people heard, understood, and obeyed God's word. And we need that same commitment today. If you don't have that same commitment, you're in need of a revival this morning. The early Christians, as we see, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. We see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. But not only that, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching. They devoted their whole life when they came to know Christ, to believe and obey the gospel. It was everything to them. It meant the world to them. Even when the persecution arose in Acts 8, they were scattered. They continued preaching the gospel. They continued living it, knowing what it cost, what it could cost them. Simple statement. Revival begins when the Bible is opened, believed, loved, and obeyed. I'm going to say it again. Revival begins when the Bible is opened, believed, loved, and obeyed. And so revival this morning must begin with each one of you. Each Christian is to examine his own heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? I can't repent for each one of you. I can't obey for each one of you. That's on you. You are responsible for you. There probably are people who need revived spiritually, and I hope you see it. And guess what? You're responsible for yourself. You must recognize when you need help. Because I'm merely a man, and I don't know your heart. I don't know what you need. I know what I need. I don't know what you need. Only God knows. If you can't be honest with yourselves, I pray and hope that one day you wake up and see you need help. Consider the words of Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us search out and examine our ways, and let us return to Yahweh. This is a fitting invitation for every Christian. Let us search out and examine our ways. Examine yourself. See if you are in need of revival. See that you need help. And return to Yahweh. Because guess what? And I pray that each one of you truly believes this. But God is able to revive you. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31, if you want a text, a book, chapter, and verse to memorize, here it is. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 29 through 31. He gives power to the weary, and to him who lacks vigor, he increases might. Though youth grow weary and tired, and choice young men stumble badly, yet those who hope in Yahweh will gain new power. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. You want a text to drive your life? Right here it is. And what Isaiah is saying here is that God can renew the weary, restore the fallen, strengthen the weak, forgive the penitent, and revive his people again. It doesn't matter how long you have been in sin. God's able to help you. God is able to save you. But you must be willing to do something. You must be willing to take those first steps and ask for help. Swallow your pride and understand this morning, if you need help, the church is here. All your brothers and sisters are here to help, pray for you, to lift you up. And if you don't want to come forward, catch me after services. We can talk. Or if you're not a Christian, understand, here's your opportunity, and it may be your last, to come forward and to give your life to Christ, to believe and obey the gospel this morning. This may be your last opportunity, because once you walk out those doors and you die, or if Christ comes back, it's too late. If there is sin in your life that hasn't been dealt with, it's going to be too late. So this morning, if you need any assistance, if you need any help spiritually, let us know so that we can help you. It's what we're here for as the church, to build one another up and to go and bring lost souls back to Christ. If you're not a Christian, this is how you are to believe. This is how you obey the gospel. First, you must hear the word, Romans 10:17. Then you must believe that word, Mark 16:16. Then you must repent, which means change of mind, and there's a change of life. Acts 3:19. There must be repentance. Then we must confess our faith in Christ. Peter made the great confession. All the followers made that great confession. And we are too, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, Romans 10:10. And then we are to be immersed for the forgiveness of our sins. When we are immersed, our old self is being put to death, buried, never to be seen again. And the blood of Christ washes over us, making us white as snow. When we raise out of that water in the likeness of his resurrection, we are walking now in newness of life. Acts 2:38, Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. Acts 22:15 and 16, Romans chapter 6, it's all there. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful. That's the hard part. Hebrews 10:23, Revelation 2:10. That's when the journey begins. That's when we must be diligent, devoted, committed to making Christ our everything. And so this morning, if you are here and you need any assistance, I pray that you decide this morning to come as we stand and as we sing.